We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.
Hey, Owl Pellets, this is Brian and Kate. We are marshallless this week, but we are here by the Owl Pellet. We appreciate each of you joining us today. We are excited. We have with us from Utah State University, Michael Pate and Becky Lauver. Here they have done some phenomenal work looking along our series on SAEs, and we are excited to be able to continue this because, as we said before, SAE is a very important part of the agricultural education program and something that I think we all can improve on. So, Michael and Becky, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Kate.
All right, let's jump right into this thing. Why don't you guys tell us quickly about your study? Give us a little bit of a summary of what you guys found.
So we really wanted to look at, we originally started looking at what kinds of injuries were happening with ag teachers, and that was a number of years ago, but then looked at the supervisor involvement and the professional development needs that were associated with teachers and the SAE programs involving safety.
So it was just, we surveyed teachers from different regions from the FFA areas, and we identified some teachers through the National FFA organization, and I asked them some questions about what they were doing in their SAEs, particular to students' tasks, what work tasks they were letting them do, and we looked at that and compared that to what the child labor regulations were for children in agriculture.
So I've got a little bit of morbid curiosity, and I think some of our listeners may as well. What, you know, if I'm a new teacher coming in or one that's been incredibly lucky, what are some common things that you all maybe saw or pitfalls that may be common where students do typically get hurt? If there are more high-risk tasks that they're doing, what are we seeing as far as injuries or where students get hurt?
In one of our previous studies, I think we found one of the most common types of injuries were bites and stings and scrapes and cuts. So some things that aren't real hazardous in terms of the injury piece, but there are also a few
life-threatening?
Yeah, life-threatening injuries.
Yeah. When we look at the research and we look at, you know, the hazards of agriculture, the primary things that we get in trouble with are machinery, tractors, and that's no different for youth. Typically they get on a tractor that's too large for them or that's ill-equipped with no guards or shields. You also see a lot of things happening with livestock. So livestock may step on them, or you see things that happen with bulls or cows or even sows that may have litters or things that have offspring. So dealing with those kinds of things, a lot of the bigger two areas that we've seen across the board are machinery and equipment, as well as livestock being two big things that happen.
One of your key findings in your study was to implement developmentally appropriate task assignments. This kind of, I think, goes along with some of the injuries you talked about. To me, those go hand in hand. Maybe talk a little bit more about what you guys found with that, what your recommendations were, and as I'm an ag teacher in my classroom, what do I do with that?
So when we think about developmentally appropriate, we're talking also not just attitudes or not just maturity, but also their actual physical abilities. So when you think about sizing a tractor or being able to push in the clutch, how to react and reaction times and how those change as kids develop from teenagers, from adolescents into teenagers. So those are the kinds of things we want to help help teachers recognize, is that as they're going from junior high to high school, they're going to change, and so their reaction time, their ability to maintain their physical abilities, so, you know, we talk about like pushing in a clutch or brakes and things like that, those types of things, being able to assess the student, are they able to do those things, and that might take, you know, experiences in laboratory, doing a rubric where you can evaluate those. There's some really good resources available from the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Safety and Health. And so those are available to ag teachers too if they'd like to look at and see where their students are as far as development, not just cognitively, but also their physical abilities.
So I know that when I was teaching, when I was working on assessing students in their abilities in different lab settings, I got all the time, well, I've been doing this for years. I do this with my parents. I do this with my dad. I'm going to go ahead and assume that that is not an okay replacement for assessing their abilities and their ability to operate safely within a setting. So can you talk about how teachers might navigate that and how what they use maybe instead to assess their students?
Well, I think it's really about developing a culture of safety at your school and modeling that safety. Tradition really does play a big part in what happens on a family farm. And just because you did it when you were 14 doesn't, when there weren't any laws, doesn't mean that you should be doing it when you're 14 in today's world. And I think that ag teachers just need, just could make it a part of their community, that culture of safety, bringing in parents, bringing in employers, and working together as a team to help keep their kids safe.
Yeah, another thing, maybe along the lines I think you're looking for maybe is that what things can you do to help kids realize their potential or realize their limitations. There are some things, I've seen some stuff on reaction time showing students actual how to measure reaction time. There's some really cool little hands-on activities. I talk about that in a textbook. We've got a textbook out on new ag mechanics and technology, and there's a little activity in there on that. I don't want to be self-promoting, but there's a new textbook in town. And so you can take those activities and kind of show them their limitations and then kind of have them have that aha moment of knowing, okay, just how far they need to come in order to be a very good professional in agriculture.
I think that's great. And you're talking about safety is so important. I have a question both for in the SAE realm and then also back in the classroom lab realm. I'll start with the SAE focus. You're talking about safety involved in the SAE, and you know, as a teacher, you can, you know, you have control of that student while they're in their classroom. You can kind of create this culture in there, but as they go do their SAE, there may be portions of it with you, but there's so much of it that they're doing that you're not around on, and they're doing it under that auspices of the SAE. What kind of advice or things can the ag teacher do to kind of really make sure these practices are put in place when the student's out there, not under the teacher's direct supervision?
Well, the first thing, we've developed a safety code of practice similar to the FFA code of conduct, right, that you could walk through with your students. And even though you're sending them out the door, you at least have something in a file that says your student has signed and their parents or their employer has signed that says, I promise I'm going to be safe when I'm working on my SAE.
Yeah, and you could also maybe, if you want to get buy-in from your community, recognizing community members as part of an FFA banquet or part of an SAE recognition site placements, looking at, highlighting star environments and kind of getting the word out and saying, you know, getting that reward system and making that a little more intrinsic motivation to help change that community for those students. Another idea, as we've seen in some of the marketing, is like, you know, utilizing community stories where there has been an injury or there has been an incident and saying, you know, this is how it's affected not just the family but how it affected the community, utilizing some of that, maybe even get that in as far as an ag issues or even an ag communication CE event that you can talk about with your community members, whether it's your Farm Bureau or your Farm Credit Services and things like that.
Yeah, I think they're so important to get those parents and those employers engaged in that process, actually talking about safety in addition to, you know, just what the student's going to do and trying to get them in there. And especially if they're going into some sort of an employer situation, they're probably more in tune with that, because I always remember one of the things we always talk about is liability and all that kind of stuff and help make sure that it's a safe environment for those students when they're doing that. Now, in the classroom, in the lab setting, I've seen way too many times and probably fell into the same trap myself is, you know, we do a safety unit, we do the safety, and then that's done, and then we go do the stuff. And it's almost two separate things. How do we go back and really make, that again, that you talk about the culture of safety, how it doesn't become just this separate little thing, we got to check the box, everybody's passed their safety test or signed their contract, now we're going to go do the fun stuff.
Yeah, I think you go back to being a model for your students and modeling that safety behavior. whether it's wearing your safety glasses, having a lab coat, taking pride in your professionalism as far as being an ag teacher in the lab is how you organize your lab. If your lab is disorganized and you have a lot of clutter or a lot of hoses hanging out, that's going to affect the perception and the motivation of the other students of how they're going to actually go out from that lab into the real world setting. So those kinds of things. You might go and visit a farm, and you know, every farm has their junk pile. They have these things. There's a lot of busyness going on, and it's not always about being clean. But when we start to model that and try to make sure that, you know, that's part of our expectations, I think that would go a long way as far as we model that.
And I think as a teacher, even if you're in a greenhouse, that part of your day is spent being aware of what's going on around you and reminding the students that, you know, pick up the hoses. It's you don't want somebody tripping over something like that. So it's just really part of just the everyday thing that you do as a teacher. You have to be aware of what safety looks like in your laboratory, in your greenhouse, on the school farm, all of that.
Yeah, and then you can maybe integrate that as far as it's not just the safety test, but on your rubrics when you grade welds or when you grade the reassembly of the engine, did they do it professionally? Did they have that safety elements? And make that part of that evaluation piece of that assessment, whether you have the work skills also and the technical content that they're getting.
Becky, you mentioned the idea of the teacher being able to understand safety within that particular setting. And we know that safety standards change over time. Our facilities may change over time, and then the safety risks and practices may change as well. How, as a teacher, can we make sure that we are up to date on that safety training? Are there any special ways that we can go about making sure that we're up to date?
Well, I think there's so much information out there. And part of what we've tried to do is collapse that information into a one-stop shop so that it's not hard for people to go find that information. So going onto the SAE website and looking at even some of the curriculum things that we've collected, there's a lot of partners that we work with. Michael's got a huge list of safety partners that we work with that will be available that have those resources for teachers.
Yeah, we have a lot of resources on the eExtension website, as well as, you know, that's where we house the curriculum for, and then all the different things that you might see as far as belief statements, safety statements. Things do change. I think one way to give teachers resources is as a teacher educator. Possibly working with your teacher educator and have that part of it as a professional summer seminar, having those up to date. Right now, as part of a group from different land grants, it's a multi-state experiment station where we get a bunch of different researchers and extension professionals together, and we brainstorm what's the issues, how can we address these issues. Collaborating with the other experiment station projects where we can translate this research into actual practical applications. I think we need to do better as a teacher education system, working with different professionals. I think we're trying to, as this group, we're trying to strengthen the infrastructure so that we have safety professionals that can help, and they're focused on agriculture education. There's not very many institutions that provide the training for that, so there's different, so those are some ideas that we've been thinking about.
Great. You mentioned a couple of times there as a great resource is this SAE website, the SAE Clearinghouse. Can you talk a little, real briefly about that as we wrap up today?
Yeah, SAE stands for Safety in Agriculture for Youth, and that clearinghouse, it's a kind of like an umbrella where we're trying to pull and give a portal to all these different resources, and part of that clearinghouse is it identifies how that curriculum aligns with AFNR standards, and so it allows teachers to see which standards they're teaching to, and they can talk to their administrators and show how they're meeting content and how they're meeting objectives for their standards. So that's available to them on eExtension as well as through Penn State's website, Extension website.
Fantastic. Becky Lauver, Michael Pate, thank you guys so much for being with us today. This is an exciting stuff. We enjoy this. SAEs are such an important part, but this topic cuts across SAEs, but also in our classroom lab experiences, and really highlights, I think, the importance that safety should really be part of your overall culture, not just something that you do to get checked off early in the year and move on. That is something that you really need to model, and it's important. It's one of those key transferable life skills, I think, that we have here in agricultural education and communication. So thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Kate.
So today we've had Michael Pate and Becky Lauver here from Utah State University. We appreciate you guys here. For the absent Marshall Baker, this is Brian Myers with Kate Shoulders here by the Owl Palette saying thank you. Have a great day. We appreciate what you do. You teach. You make a difference. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.